music to your ears. This is my last sermon on God is love. I know I've been on this for 4 or 5 weeks. And if you would, turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, where we started. It says in verse 6, now, first of all, I'm going to just do a little recap, all right? First of all, when we look at this chapter, you got to see who he starts out writing to. The very first verse, he says, beloved, all right? So he's talking to those loved by the Lord and those that love the Lord, the children of God, the chosen of God. He addresses them with a term of affection and endearment that sets them apart from the unsaved, beloved. And in the first few verses, he warns them to make sure that they have a spirit, that they have a discerning spirit against evil and against sinful teaching, the Antichrist, and so on. But down in verse 6, he says, we are of God. Beloved, we are of God. For he that knoweth God heareth us. Those that know the Lord in Jesus Christ, they hear the authority of Scripture. They hear the truth of the Word of God. He that is not of God heareth not us. There's a whole host of folks in this world that may audibly hear somebody quote a verse, but they don't know the truth. They don't embrace it. And that's what he's talking about. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Huge gulf betwixt the two, truth and error. He goes on and says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. That's a characteristic of those who know God, who are born again by God through the work of the Holy Spirit. They're going to love God, and they're going to love all those that love God, His children. They're part of the family of God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So he is saying that there are people that do not know God. Our prayer is that God will open their ears, open their hearts, and that they'll be reached with the gospel message, and the Spirit of God will bring them to life, and they'll experience the love of God in their heart by the Holy Ghost, which is shed abroad. In verse 9, now he's telling us that are beloved, that the objects of his love, now he's explaining how this love was manifested, how it was displayed. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is a comment, if you will, on another passage that God inspired John to write that is so famous. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And listen, if you really have everlasting life, if you have been born of God, that's never revoked. It can't be revoked by priests or preachers or popes. If God is in you of a truth, it's eternal. Baptists historically have always believed that truth. Now, it says, this is, God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Hearing His love. Now this is where we're going to get to today. See, we've in our past sermons, we've looked at the essence. God is love, and how love is personified in the person of God and expressed in the Trinity and the offices of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We also looked at how God demonstrates His love, and it's the greatest demonstration of love is the sacrifice of His only begotten Son, the fairest jewel of heaven, who dwelt in His bosom from all eternity. God gave Him to bear our sins. It's the only way that you and I can be accepted by God. There's no other way. You're not accepted by God on the basis of who you are, what you do, how you feel. Your acceptance is in Jesus Christ. And it's in Him that I find all of my worth. All of my self-worth is bound up in the One who loved me and gave Himself for me. And I urge you, look outside of yourself to Jesus Christ. I mean, think upon these things. Virtue, everything that personifies Christ, get your mind wrapped around that. Now, herein is love. Not that we loved God. I didn't love God. So, are you making that? I'm telling you, I was an enemy of God. And I demonstrated it by my wicked works. I stand before you as one that literally deserves to go to hell for my sins. And I've got a lot of sins. But Jesus Christ took my place. He gave me the grace to believe that He died for my sins and was buried and rose again, and that through faith in Him, I have life in Him, not just temporal, but everlasting life. It wasn't me that sought God. It was God who sought me. And that's what He's expressing here in His love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He is the appeasement. He is the satisfaction that God requires. In Christ, all of the wrath that was against me, it's all extinguished. It's all purged. It's all put away. I'm free. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm complete in Him. I can't add one thing to it. God is satisfied in the sacrifice of His Son. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And all that are in union with Jesus Christ, the same can be said of you. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that amazing? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. So today, my message is, God's love reciprocated. He loves us. What should be our response? we love Him. I love the Lord. It says in verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. I owe Him everything. I've said it many times, if I could take you back 43 years ago and you would have seen my life and knew me as a person, you would probably say there's no hope for that guy to be saved. There's no way a guy like that will ever follow Jesus Christ, much less be a preacher. I've told you the story about after I was saved, I went back to my high school to a basketball game and I saw my old basketball coach, Coach Moore, and I had my three little kids, and he said, he came up and I said, Coach, good to see you. He said, Tommy, like, I expected you to be in jail or something. What are you doing with your life? I said, Coach, Jesus Christ saved my soul. He changed me completely. And I'm a gospel preacher that pastors Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. I thought we were going to have to scrape him up off the ground. You know, he got a little faint, you know. But I'm here to tell you, God can save the worst of sinners. That's why I believe with all my heart, as long as somebody's breathing, I have hope that they'll be saved. Because God saved somebody like me and changed me so powerfully that my life's never been the same. And I owe Him everything, every fiber of my being. And it grieves me when I don't reciprocate that love like I ought to. And I fail so many times. And I get convicted about it and it grieves me because the Holy Spirit dwells in me and convicts me of my sin and my lack of love and my lack of devotion. But we love Him because He first loved us. When God's love has been communicated to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, the person who experiences the love of God and has God dwelling in them will respond with love for God. It's unnatural not to love somebody who loves you. I didn't know God loved me before I was saved. I think about my parents. We didn't go to church a whole lot. We did occasionally. But you know, and my dad, he worked 80 hours a week usually. He worked two jobs so that my mom could be a stay-at-home mom. And you know, I played all sports. That's my life revolved around school and sports when I was a kid. Whatever season it was, I mean, it was baseball in the summer and tennis and handball, basketball, football. And you know, not one time did I ever feel even a little bit of resentment when my dad couldn't come to the games. Because he worked a lot. Not one. I always understand, Dad. My dad loved me. My mom loved me. I grew up in a wonderful home that I'm so thankful for. Never resented my parents. I love them. I talk to my dad every day. Nearly every single day. My mom's gone on. It's natural to love somebody that loves you. Now, I'm going to tell you, my mom and dad had some hard, they gave me some hard loving at times. Well, I'll tell you what. My mother, boy, she would, it was chastening and discipline. And she was the one that usually administered it. And she loved me. She didn't want me to go on being sassy and sinful and wicked. And she let me know it. And I'm thankful she did. But I knew that I was in some really deep trouble if my dad had to show me he loved me by the chastening of the Lord. It wasn't very often. I tell you a story about my dad. My sister, I always called her the princess. And she only got spanked one time. One time. Our whole lifetime. Now, my mom probably spanked her. But my dad, he only spanked her one time. And what she had done. Now, my sister was rotten. I mean, she, one time, this was back in the 60s. And early 70s, you know, women would wear wigs. My mom had a wig. My sister, she put my mom's wig in the toilet one time. My dad didn't spank her for that. But I'll tell you one thing she did, and this was like a sacred thing. She unrolled a whole roll of toilet paper, threw it into the toilet and made that thing run over and water. My dad spanked her. And you know, when it was all done and he sent her to his room, he started crying. And I'm thinking, what's wrong with you, man? You know, I'm a little kid. I mean, she deserved it. It's about time, you know. And my dad, it upset him so much, he went and cried. He cried, and then he went in and apologized to my sister. And I said, man, that seals it. You know. But I'm going to tell you something. I never had any resentment to my parents or my sister, because we were a family. I love them. It's natural to love those that love you. And on a much higher plane, we ought to love God because He's our Heavenly Father. He is our authority. And He disciplines us from time to time. Sometimes it's difficult. But we who have been saved by God's power and tasted that He is gracious will love God and delight ourselves in Him. When you love someone, how is it proven? Well, if you love God, you're going to want to spend time with Him. Say, well, how can I spend time with God? I can't see Him. Well, He's given you His infallible word. And every word of God is pure. You want to really show that you spend time with God? Get in the Word. He's given you an open avenue. If you love Him, talk to Him. Go to Him. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Talk to your Heavenly Father. Go to Him in prayer. You'll want to be close to them, to the Lord. I love coming to the house of God. I believe the corporate presence of Jesus Christ is in the midst of His churches. He's here today. He is in the midst of the golden candlesticks. I believe it with all my heart. So you ought to love coming to the house of God, where the saints of God, the people that have been redeemed by the same blood and indwelt by the same Spirit, we're all gathered here for one purpose, not to exalt a preacher or a pope or a denomination, but we are here, we're gathered to exalt the Lord our God. And what great joy should fill our hearts when we can come into His presence with singing, with joy, and we can edify one another. When you love somebody, you want to talk to them, you want to please them. These are all marks of reciprocating God's love. It's really not complicated. If you have experienced God's love, it ought to show in your life. It ought to be seen in your countenance, the way you carry yourself, how you talk, where you go, what you do, what you say, how you live. People ought to see that's somebody that's walking in the light. And God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. That's somebody that wants to obey what Jesus said. Let your light so shine before men that they may behold your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When God's love has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit, you will have new desires and affections. Dave Bianco told me this. He said, "You know, I never used to cry." And I said, "You mean because you're older now?" He is getting older. I knew him when he had dark black hair. That's changed quite a bit. Several years being married to Teresa might have had something to do with it. Let's blame it on his mother-in-law. She's sitting in the pew there too. But he said no. He said, "You know what changed me? Is when the Lord saved me and softened my heart." God changes people in a miraculous way. See, you're going to have new desires. Before I was saved, I didn't want to go to church. When my parents made me, I didn't want to go. I never read the Bible. I never sang hymns or songs or spiritual songs. I loved being a heathen. I loved sin. I loved rebellion. And then God changed me so miraculously that my gramps, after I was saved and all I was doing was, I was joyful. I was talking about the Lord, and he said, "Tommy, what has happened to you, man? What have you just turned over a new leaf?" I said, "Jesus saved me, Grant. I owe everything to Him. I'm going to serve Him." You know what? There'll be new desires. Your energy will no longer be spent solely for the purpose of pleasing yourself, but will be spent in obedience to God and His commands. In fact, if you're saved, the commands of God should not be grievous. They shouldn't be hard to be borne. They shouldn't be a burden to you if you're saved. Now, say, "Well, oh boy, there's a lot of people that say they're saved." I mean, in America, for the longest time, if you brush your teeth and you bake brownies for the kids and pay your taxes, "Well, surely I'm saved, man. I'm as good as they come." Everybody thinks they're saved. When you're saved, you want to obey God, even if it costs you. It says this in 1 John chapter 2. This is, because He loved us, we love Him, because He first loved us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. You want to be like Him. I've been a Baptist now for... I was saved first. And then I was baptized into a Baptist church. You know, unless providentially hindered, nobody's ever had to beg me to go to church. Nobody's ever had to chide me. I love going to church. By the grace of God, I go every time the doors are open, and I know what you're going to say. Yeah, dummy, because you're the preacher. You got to be here. Listen, I was going to church long before I ever pastored. Now, I started preaching 6 months after I was saved. But nobody has ever had to coerce me to go to church. And I go Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. In the day and age in which we live, that's way overboard, man. You're really pushing the envelope going to church that much. I love going. I love being here. I love being with God's people. I love singing the hymns. I love being encouraged when I come to the house of God among people that love me and who I love. Look at 1 John 3:22. It says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Do you do those things that are pleasing in His sight? Are you honest? Do you speak the truth? Do you live in such a way that you want to be a blessing to other people? Are you a gospel witness? Do you actually care about people? Or are you selfish? Are you self-centered? Do you often feel like you've got a raw deal? Folks, if you're saved, you got everything. And I pray that God will give you the grace and fill your heart with that kind of knowledge. Because when that starts working in you, when God works in you both the will and the do of His good pleasure and gives you your worth in Christ, and He begins to open up all the blessings and benefits, and you know what begins to happen in a child of God? There's a freedom of contentment. And you can say I've always marveled at Paul. You talk about somebody whose life, according to the world standards, was in the dumpster. I mean, think about everywhere that guy went, people hated him. They were trying to kill him. He was in prison. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. Everywhere he went, he met with opposition. And yet he writes the book of Philippians in from prison, and the theme is rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. And in that book he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therein to be content. How did that happen? God showed him. He was just overwhelmed with the love of God. And he was willing to give everything for the glory of God. That's how he lived his life. Philippians chapter 3, he said that everything he had, his reputation, his wealth, he said, I count it all but dung, that I may win Christ. I want to be there. I want to be in that condition to love God so supremely that I'm willing to be emptied of self, crucifying my own will so that I can do God's will. That's an expression of love. And obedience for a child of God, it should not be grievous or hard to bear. Love should be reciprocated cheerfully. You ever have your kids? Now my kids did this before. God didn't give me a set of angels. You know, have your parents will say, oh, my little girl, she's just such an angel. Yeah, he turns out to be a little Susie, you know. Oh, wait a minute, Susie Pratt. Don't tell your mother I said that. But in reality, the fact of the matter is, my kids weren't angels. And there were times that I would tell them to do something, and they'd go, yeah. Why me? Oh, man. I hated those times. You know what? That's not the way we're to obey God. We're to obey Him cheerfully, joyfully, because He loves us. Now, look at chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. This is the mark of a child of God. If you're saved, you love other people that are saved. It's not hard. This is the way it is. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Now, 1 John, the whole book is written really to testify of the marks of people who are born of God. How that'll manifest, how that love is manifested back to God. And in 1 John 1, God, if you love the Lord and you've been born of Him, you're going to walk in the light as He is in the light. You're going to be honest and transparent with God. You're going to confess your sins. And if you don't think that you have any sins, you've deceived yourselves, according to John. You will desire to overcome the world and not embrace a system that is diametrically opposed to God. You'll desire to overcome the world. You'll want to practice that which is right and true and honest. And you'll testify of God's grace in Christ. And loving God will result in loving those that the Lord loves. We reciprocate the love of God by loving the brethren, the saints of God. And it's what Jesus said. I might preach on this next week. Herein shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That's how everybody's going to know that you're saved by the grace of God. Is that you sincerely love one another. How about you this morning? Are you walking in love to God, toward others? That principle, love is of God. And everyone that knoweth God loveth God. And they also love those that the Lord loves. One day this love is going to be fully realized when we are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. When the fullness of God's love is going to find expression and glorification. The supreme object of God's love is the Lord Jesus Christ. How much does God love you? He is right now working in you, and one day will completely conform you to the image of Jesus Christ. That's how much God loves you. May God help us to be just overwhelmed. If this gets a hold of us, that's what revival's about. When you experience the love of God and then you begin to express it the way you live. I pray that you know the Lord Jesus, because that's the only way you can know the love of God is in Jesus Christ, His Son. Let's all stand.
Page 31.